Season 2, Episode 14, Pete's Podcast, Bible Story Evangelism, Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, the Magi visit, the visit of the Magi, the three kings. All right, that visit Jesus and bring him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. There are three gifts. It does not say that they're three kings, but maybe we can assume it. I don't know. It's a fine point that people like to debate. All right, I want to review episode 13, and I thought you might be interested in my podcast analytics. This is my 118th episode, I think, 117th episode. Anyway, I had 104 in the first season, and I'm on 14 now. So anyway, I've completed 117 episodes. All right. How Anchor currently measures Bible Story Evangelism's analytics. Plays. Plays indicate that your episode or some part of it was heard by a unique listener. So I couldn't listen to it 1,500 times and come up with the number 1,500, which is my number of plays. So that represents, it could be, well, I know I've listened to every episode, so I don't know if anybody else has, but that's how I catch my mistakes. But anyway, and one reason I review. All right, it goes on to say that for a stream to count as a play, the listener would need to listen to 1 minute of an episode's audio. Let's see, two more groups of analytics here. Like I said, 1,500 total plays, currently updated every 100 new plays. So I go from 1,500 to 1,600, etc. Geographic regions include 16 countries in order of listenership. I thought this was interesting. USA, number one. Russia, number two. This is in the order of listenership. USA is 95%, 96% of my listenership, but Russia is number two, followed by Canada, the UK, Germany, Iceland, Singapore, Switzerland, the Netherlands, India, Sweden, South Africa, Malaysia, Australia, Austria, and the Czech Republic. And that has only increased in number. I don't know if they're going to, if people stop listening or don't listen anymore from a country, if that gets dropped out of there, time will tell. Anyway, and one of the reasons I initially thought I should do this is because I believe in imminence, and the Lord could return and the Holy Spirit be taken out, and with it all the believers. And so you've got the 7 years of the tribulation with that initially starts without any believers. I don't think it takes 24 hours before you got a bunch of believers, because people have heard about, there have been movies, books, all this kind of stuff, a Left Behind series. At any rate, I think people are going to be coming to Christ. And I think and Jewish people, by and large, probably the biggest group. And they are going to be persecuted tremendously, especially the 144,000 Jewish evangelists that are sealed with the seal of God in their forehead. Satan can't come up with anything on his own, so he copies that seal of God in their forehead with the mark of the beast to mark his people. At any rate, I think you have to take the mark of the beast and worship Satan. And that's, you know, somebody can, they taught us in the military, if you're a POW, they can pretty much do whatever they want to you and get you to say whatever they want you to say. But, you know, in your heart, you're your own person. Anyway, in the last interesting analytic is listening platforms that Anchor uses in order of listenership is other, 34%. I'm not even that sure what other is. I don't know if that's a big group of other podcasts. It is listened to around the world, so I may. Anyway, 34% is other. Apple Podcast is 27%. Spotify is 25%. That's the one I like to use. And I like to use the app on my television in my bedroom when I'm getting ready for bed at night or whatever. call it a day. I do like to follow along, so I don't multitask when I listen to them, but you can do whatever you need to do. Overcast, that's an interesting name. Play on words, I guess. 8%. Anchor, 4%. Anchor was the one that's doing all the work here, but I guess they make their money somehow, some other way. I guess advertisers or something, but they're only 4%. And I added those all up because I'm that kind of person. Got to add up all these percents, see if they make it 100. And they were short by 2%, so I just wrote 2% not included. Statistics are hard to come by, and you know, maybe they have groups that are so small they just don't even want to identify them as podcasts being used, whatever. Maybe there's some kind of a threshold you have to meet before you can be listed as one of their podcast people. All right, well, that takes care of that. I want to review episode 13 and really the verses from 12 and 13. There's only one verse technically from A.T. Robertson's Harmony of the Gospels for Students of the Life of Christ. And that was, I'm going to read it right now, Luke, in episode 12, the only verse that was in his, I put all of Genesis chapter 17 and quite a few other verses. You know, in this Harmony of the Gospel, I think I can go to the Old Testament and not get confused. It's when I go forward in time past, you know, the life of Christ, I hesitate to do that because it gets a little confusing. But going back is, all this was already written. Anyway, before we got the new covenant. All right, here we go. Luke, if you want to follow along, Luke chapter 2, verses 21 and 22 through 38. Anyway, here we go. Luke chapter 2, verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, the eighth day after childbirth is the ideal time, scientifically, medically. There's anticoagulants or coagulants, excuse me, in the baby's body from birth, and so it's the perfect time to the least amount of blood loss. On the eighth day, Abraham was 99 when he was circumcised. But anyway, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb when Gabriel talked to Mary and said, "You'll name him Jesus." All right, verse 22 of Luke chapter 2. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, that's 40 days from the birth. If you look that up in a concordance, I like to use Bible Hub, internet search, Bible Hub, Bible, H-U-B, Bible Hub. It seems like the one that people ask the question, answer the questions I'm asking, like what's the difference between a circumcision and the presenting of the child to the Lord at the 40th day. Anyway, they're both celebrated, but anyway, so when the days of Mary's purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, 40 days from the birth, they brought Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. I don't know where he was. Well, yeah. Anyway, all right, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. That's a special thing. The woman can be involved in. I don't think she's involved. She's not. She's technically unclean, and that might bother you, but you'll have to talk to God about that because he kind of wrote the first five books of the Bible, and it set out these cleanliness rules and things like that. And I think, as a whole, they're pretty wisely for our benefit. Kosher meat, things like that. We finally got kosher with the Food Drug Act after some books were written about how horrible American food industry was. Anyway, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Luke chapter 2, verse 23. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And you go back to Exodus chapter 13, verses 2 and 12. Unless you can do that quickly, you don't need to do that. But Exodus chapter 13, verses 2 and 12 is what I'm going to read. Sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel. Okay. Both of man and beast, mankind, I guess. But it does talk about males in verse 12. It's not the firstborn among women, obviously. They're not going to circumcise them. I mean, some cultures do it, but they call it mutilation is what that's called. But if you study it at all. Verse 12, that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix. I'm pretty sure that's King James for the womb. And every firstling that cometh of beast which thou hast. So I think this is the way he's going to provide for the Levites who are the priesthood. He's going to provide them with offerings because one of the tribes is going to get their cattle and stuff from the sacrifices offered by people. And the people a lot of times got back on some of the meat. A burnt offering was a very rare thing. A lot of times it was a feast time to go to Jerusalem at a feast. That's what they were called. And they offer sacrifices. Verse 12 of Exodus chapter 13. That thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the womb, and every firstling that cometh of a beast which thou hast, the males shall be the Lord. So it's talking about in verse 2, children of Israel, both man and beast. I think that idea is carried on. We're here. Males shall be the Lord's. Verse 24, Luke chapter 2, verse 24, back to Luke chapter 2. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, there were, I think, different sacrifices that could be offered, and the lowest one for the most economically challenged was a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. But anyway, that's what verse 24 says, a turtle dove or two young pigeons. Verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. I said Simon yesterday, but I should have said Simeon. I did say it later. Excuse me. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. The consolation of Israel is not yet occurred. It's going to occur during the tribulation. That's the judgment of Israel. There's five eternal judgments, and one of them has taken place, the death of Jesus on the cross. There's three more that come in the tribulation: the marriage feast of the Lamb, the judgment seat of Christ. It's an award ceremony the last 7 years in heaven, while Israel is suffering under the persecution of the Antichrist, but they come through with flying colors. It's a tough game, but they win, let's put it that way. At the end of that 7 years, the Lord returns, Battle of Armageddon. You have the sheep and the goats, which will be my first one I guess I get to do it here because it'll be in the Gospels. Yeah, I'll get to do the sheep and the goats in the harmony of the Gospels. At any rate, the sheep are believers, as always, and the goats are not. And their conduct is described, but that doesn't make them sheep and it doesn't make them goats. It's what they believe, or the object of their faith. Anyway, so those are the three judgments that happen during the tribulation. Definitely during the tribulation is the judgment seat of Christ in heaven for the church. Definitely during the 7 years of the tribulation is the judgment of Israel for rejecting Christ as the Messiah, I guess. I'm not sure what it is. But again, they do pass with flying colors and greatly rewarded in heaven for their faith in the Messiah. The the Judgment of the Nations, Sheep and the Goats, also called the Judgment of the Nations. If you're taken in that, that's not good. You don't want to be taken. You want to be taken in the rapture, but you don't want to be taken at the second coming of the Lord, because they're cast in the lake of fire. The ones that are left, they live on into the thousand-year millennium on the earth, and they're believers, all believers. Just like the rapture started, the 7 years of the rapture started without any believers, the thousand-year reign of Christ on the earth starts with nothing but believers. But there are, you know how stubborn kids can be, there are some unbelievers. There's a rebellion, the battle of Gog and Magog, and then we enter eternity. The new heaven and the new earth is built, and I trust the Lord. I think he did a pretty good job with this earth, and I think he'll do a great job with the new heaven and a new earth. So I'm going to trust him. He's the object of my faith, and you can do whatever you would like. All right, so behold, verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was a just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. The consolation of Israel will be at the second coming, when they enter into the millennium, and they've done what they should have done, and what they did do for many years under good kings, David and people like that, that rejoiced in the Law and the Prophets, and they will do it again, and they will be consolation, they will be consoled by God in heaven for eternity, whatever. It's through Jesus Christ that anybody is in the presence of God. That's just the bottom line. Without Christ, nobody gets there, and you only get there by Christ, not by your good works during the tribulation, not by feeding the poor and clothing the naked and all that stuff in the Judgment of the Nations. It's not the way to get into heaven. The way to get into heaven, or the millennium in that case, is by faith in Jesus Christ. So if you don't believe that, that's your business, but you're not believing in the Savior. All right, verse 26, Luke chapter 2, verse 26. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost, Simeon, that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, the Lord's Messiah. Verse 27, and he came by the Spirit into the temple, by the Spirit of God, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, which was to offer the sacrifices of two turtle doves and whatever, or two pigeons, it doesn't really say what they chose there, and Simeon took him in his arms and blessed God, and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, the salvation of the world, the salvation of Adam, the salvation of Abraham, the salvation of David, the salvation of Pete Kingman. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. He did not do it in a corner. He did it. Our whole dating system is based on when Christ came to the earth. They're trying to get rid of that, but good luck. Verse 32. A light to lighten the Gentiles. Thank you very much for the Gentiles before me. I was led to the Lord by a Gentile. But and the glory of thy people Israel. And it's going to be a combination of the church. The 12 apostles are honored in heaven. They're 12 pillars, 12 foundational stones of the new heaven. And the 12 tribes of Israel are 12, sit on 12 judgment thrones in heaven. So I think the time of Israel will be honored, the time of the church will be honored, and the time before there was an Israel will be honored. By faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice than Cain. There's been believers from the beginning. There will be believers to the end. And the end will be at the beginning of the new heaven and the new earth and the beginning of eternity. All right, verse 33. Luke chapter 2, verse 33. And Joseph and Jesus' mother marveled at those things which were spoken of Jesus by Simeon. And Simeon blessed them, the three of them, I guess, and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, unfortunately not all, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. He didn't really rise from the dead, the coolness of the tomb, a Passover plot, whatever. The reason I get choked up there, and I probably shouldn't go into it because I'll get more choked up, was I saw the grief of my parents with the loss of my brother. I was the one that got the phone call and had to break the news. It was the day after my 18th birthday. And he was a soldier and killed in action. And I just saw the grief of my parents. My home went from a happy home to a home that was pretty numb. I don't think I ever saw my dad recover. I went to West Point pretty quickly, within a year. Well, just a little over a year, about 13 months after my brother was killed. I was in the Army, and I got to see my mother. My dad died in 74, my mother died in 95, so she lived, outlived my dad by 21 years, and she did recover. And I never thought I'd recover from the loss of my wife, but I did recover from that. A loss of a child, I do not want to go through that. All right, verse 35. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul, Mary. This is Simeon going on to tell her about the bad things that are going to happen, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. That's King James or whatever. That's the Bible's way of saying, you know, you're supposed to be a virgin when you get married, but because you're supposed to avoid fornication. But anyway, 7 years from her virginity. So she was married for 7 years, which, you know, they got married pretty young from what I understand back then. I don't know the customs, and obviously I don't know the customs and traditions of Bible times. But anyway, it doesn't matter. She was 84 years old now. And she was a widow of about 84 years. She was 84 years old. And she'd been a widow, obviously, since her husband died 7 years after they got married, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. You know, I can pray all day for my country. I can pray all day for the world. Abba, Father, I pray for those in authority, that we might lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in your sight, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. I can pray that all day long. And I'm not the only one that's praying that for those in authority around the world, that they'll do what's right. The believers will do what's right. The lost will come to Christ and then do what's right, that we might lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness. And I'm not the only one praying that. So I feel like I'm doing a lot for my fellow man and praying to my Heavenly Father, Abba Father, all things are possible. You take this violence from us. Pray for those in authority that they will believe in you, and those that have will act like it. Those that haven't will and then act like it. Anyway, I pray. I pray for the world. I pray for the world about hurricanes, too. But anyway, I feel like a very powerful, vital person to the world. And no telling what she was praying for. I mean, You got the Romans in charge of Jerusalem, and you got believers being persecuted. Well, that's coming. Anyway, you got Christ and his crucifixion coming. Anyway, all right. Verse 38. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise, as Simeon did, unto the Lord, and spake of him, of Jesus, to all that looked for redemption in Israel. And I was looking for redemption and didn't even know it. But when I heard it was a free gift, not of works, lest any man should boast, no strings attached, I said, I'm in. And what sealed the deal was, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, whosoever, whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I wanted everlasting life that night. And I was told it was a free gift and that I could have it. And he led me in a prayer that I think was something like, God, the best way I know how, I'm trusting Christ as my Savior. I looked up from that prayer. I said, look, nothing happened. I didn't feel anything. How do I, you know, what, you know, and he jumped in there and said, it's not a feeling. Some days you'll feel good, some days you'll feel bad. But if you trusted Christ as your Savior, you're going to heaven when you die. And I've told you this many times, but as I was leaving his house at the end of the Bible study, I was probably the last high school kid to leave, and there was a college girl there that looked up and said, if I never see you again, I'll see you in heaven. And I said, you're right. I thought about what she said, and I said, you're right. And I've never doubted it for a second for the last 48 years. And that's why I'm doing this podcast. I want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. And I'm in 16 countries, going to all the world, preach the gospel. I think the Lord's coming back. Could be today. Could be 100 years from now. But I know he's coming back. But I'm in the 11th hour. I got it easy compared to the saints of the tribulation. Oh, my gosh. They're so angry, they're calling for revenge from heaven on the way they were treated by the Antichrist and slaughtered. All right, here we go. Season 2, Episode 14, based on A.T. Robertson's A Harmony of the Gospel for the Students of the Life of Christ. What a great title. A Harmony of the Gospel for Students of the Life of Christ. If you're listening to these podcasts, I pronounce you a student of the life of Christ. I'm enjoying it anyway. Copyright 1992, USA. Episode 14, Magi Visit the Newborn King of the Jews, Jerusalem, Bethlehem. We're going to look at Matt chapter 2, not Luke chapter 2, but Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. And I'm going with BC 4 from Schofield's Reference Bible, copyright 1909. Okay, and the Bible I'm reading is the King James Bible that I copied off the internet, because it's definitely public domain. All right, verse 1 of Matthew chapter 2, and this is the visit of the Magi, the three kings, if you will. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king. Now, Herod was almost like a title, like Augustus or something. I mean, it was a There were six Herods, so I don't know if this guy named all his kids after himself or what, but anyway, I don't know if this is the first Herod. I should be a better Bible student, but I know there's six. And when I studied it the last time, they said there's six, so good luck. Anyway, the king of the Jews. There was a king that we studied in the book of Acts. I forgot his name now, but that Paul... what was his name? Anyway, and he was called Herod also. Anyway, King Herod, well, that was 30 years from this Herod. And this Herod is not a nice guy. He's going to kill everybody, all the males under 2 years old in Israel, in Bethlehem. Bad man. That's going to be episode 15, the one after this, the next one I do, Lord willing. All right, Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now, when Jesus was born at Bethlehem in Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Now, from the east could be Mesopotamia. I just think they're pretty wise. Nebuchadnezzar was pretty sharp. He wrote part of the book of Daniel. I'm just saying, they're Abrahamic. And Persia is Abrahamic. I learned that from the episode about circumcisions, about how Abrahamic these Islam is. Anyway, came wise men from the east. Now, you can have them come from China. I tell you, get the book. I've told you before, get the book, The Discovery of Genesis in the Chinese Language. It's a PDF. It will rock your world. Create a mouth or breath, dust of the earth, and man walking. And God breathed into his mouth the breath of life, and he became a living soul. A grown man, not a walking, not a baby. A grown man. A parent age, whatever. Okay. So, Matthew chapter 1. I've only got 12 verses here, so bear with me. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Now, the night sky was the biggest show around. And you could sketch these stars moving across the sky. The planets seemed like they were little alien craft that just flew around. If you take your camera, set it up on a tripod, your phone, and do time lapse, and you point it towards the North Star if you're in the North Hemisphere. I guess you have to point it to the Southern Cross if you're in the Southern Hemisphere. But all the stars will just rotate around. It's like the Earth is on a barbecue spit. You know, I mean, just the meat turning around. And if you were done that, you would just see the same sky go by, the same, you know, ceiling to the room you're in or whatever, wherever that was being done. Now, it's moving very slow. It takes 24 hours to make one trip. In fact, it's slowing down. They have to add, you can check this out on the internet, they have to add a leap second every year and a half to the atomic clock because the Earth is slowing down. And that means, now this is really hard here, you're going to have a degree in Newtonian modern physics, whatever. If it's slowing down, that means that 1,000 years ago it was going faster. I'll just use one of evolution's laws, the laws of uniformitarianism. The way it is now is the way it's always been, is what they say, although that's not exactly what the Bible says. But anyway, so it missed, you know, 6,000 years, 6,000 seconds, not a big deal. 1,000 seconds is 17 minutes. So 6,000 seconds is 7 times, you know, if the Earth is 6,000, if you're a young Earth person, like I am, then 6,000, you know, 6,000 seconds, 6,000, let me get it right now. Every year, yeah, 6,000. Okay, every year they have to add, like every year, they have to add a second and a half, or every year and a half they have to add a second. I think that's what they do. Every year and a half. So it's less than 6,000. Anyway, it's not a big deal. 6,000 seconds is not a big deal. You can divide it by 17 and see how the clock would be off. But if they didn't add it, which they haven't been doing forever, but they're doing it now. And so, okay, so take a globe and you know, start spinning it faster and faster. I used to do this demonstration in class, and the kids loved it. I would start the Earth spinning very slowly, twice as slow as the hour hand on a clock. It takes 24 hours to make one turn. But it is slowing down, so let's go back in time to where it's going faster. And when I got it going really fast, I'd say, so now we know what happened to the dinosaurs. They flew off. That's a good joke. I like that joke. Anyway, so the wise men came saying in verse 2, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Get the Star Walk, you will learn so much about the stars. You'll learn about the fact that the plane that all the planets are on is absolutely a plane. The biggest amplitude is the Earth has a three degree amplitude up and down. If it was perfectly lined up, we'd have a solar eclipse because the moon happens to be on that same plane. But because the Earth goes up and down a little bit, we don't have a solar eclipse every day. But or a lunar eclipse at night every day. Anyway, I understand stars. And we've seen his star in the east. And it, let's read the next verse. And when Herod, the king, the bad king, had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. I think when a bad king is troubled, all the people he's the king of are troubled as well. Take Germany, for example, in World War II. Verse number 4. And when Herod had gathered all the chief priests and scribes, all the super smart guys of Israel, all the chief priests, the ones that kept the records, that could read the, you know, the manuscripts, of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Where's the Messiah going to be born? And they said unto him, Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet Micah, chapter 5, verse 2. So if you can get there quickly, go ahead. Micah, chapter 5, verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, this is Micah talking, I guess, or God talking through Micah. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, the thousands of little towns, yet out of thee shall he, the Messiah, come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old, been from of old, from everlasting. I looked up that phrase, those two words, from everlasting. It's used 9 times, and it's always in reference to God, the Lord, from everlasting. God is from everlasting. And the rest of us have beginnings. And every matter has beginning. And I would say energy, every physical thing we have that we study in physics has had a beginning. And it sounds like it'll have an end. And new heaven and new earth, you know, I'm hoping for a physical. It's going to be big, that's for sure. It's got a 1,500-mile building on top of it. That's like 7 times higher than the space station. Anyway, but he did good with this planet. Hey, I like a lot of room, so, you know, for eternity. We're not going to be given in marriage, so I don't think there's going to be any babies being born. Sorry if that is the end of your desire to go to heaven. Good luck with that. Verse 6 of Matthew chapter 2. And thou, this is the wise men talking, going on. These are the scribes and the chief priests talking to Herod. I'm sorry. And thou, Bethlehem, okay. And they said unto him, unto Herod, in Bethlehem the Messiah will be born, for thus it is written of the prophets. And now they're quoting Micah 5, 2, more or less. Verse 6, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art thou not least among the princes of Judah? For out of thee shall come a governor, a ruler, that shall rule my people Israel. That's going to be the kingdom of Jesus Christ forever and ever. Verse 7, then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired them diligently what time the star appeared. Well, I know it was 42 generations after Abraham, but I only know that because of Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter 1. It has the genealogy of back to Abraham. 14 generations from Abraham to the Messiah. No, 14 generations from Abraham to David, 14 generations from David to the Babylonian captivity, and 14 generations from the Babylonian captivity to the Messiah. So you can do the math on that. So you can see how you know, you could take it from the Old Testament. I guess I'm too lazy to do the work on that, but they could figure out by Scripture when this was going to happen. And they knew where it was going to happen, Bethlehem, and now they know when it's going to happen. Verse 7, then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And Herod sent the wise men to Bethlehem and said, go search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. He is a very bad man, as you will see in episode, the next episode, the slaughter of the innocent in Bethlehem. All right, verse 9 of Matt chapter 2. If I've been saying Luke, I apologize. It's Matt chapter 2. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Okay, again, I just know a little bit about stars, mostly from Star Walk, which is a great app to look at the night sky or the day sky. You can look at it any time you want and look at the constellations and all this neat stuff. But again, one of the big problems when the biggest show on earth was the heavens, for the shepherds watching their flocks by night and stuff, you're just watching these stars move very slowly, because the earth makes one rotation every 24 hours. That's twice as slow as the hour hand, but still, they could, you know, make a note or set up sticks and, you know, Stonehenge, whatever, to watch the skies, the stars, and see what's going on. And they changes by year, you know, at least, the 23 and a half degree axis of the earth is the reason as we orbit the sun, we have seasons. It might not have been that way before the flood, but anyway. I wanted to talk about the planets, though. They don't follow this beautiful, just spinning around the earth in 24 hours as the earth spins. They don't spin around the earth. The earth spins, but from our perspective, it looks like they're spinning, except the North Star. They're all spinning around the North Star, if you can picture that. But there are, I don't think there's nine. There used to be nine, but I don't think you could ever see Pluto. They figured that one out. Star Wars took it where they figured out the Death Star by its magnetic pull on the other, you know, their numbers were off. I mean, they, some really good mathematicians figured this stuff out. But now they've degraded Pluto, but whatever, to an asteroid or something. But anyway, it's enough to pull on the other stars, or the other planets. But these things look like they're racing around the sky. And they're the brightest, they're called the morning star, Venus or whatever. I mean, these are bright, bright stars. They're not stars. They're reflected like the moon, the brightest thing in the night sky. When the sun is bouncing off of them and back to Earth, because of their atmosphere or whatever, it comes back like a bright star. And I think they're the ones that twinkle because they have the atmosphere. But anyway, they are quite noteworthy. And the thing is, they just bounce around the sky. But they would know that this was a different star. But the only way I can account for verse 9, and when they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the, when they were in the east, went before them and came and stood over where the young child was. And these stars, they look like they've got a mind of their own. So I'm thinking it wasn't a star, it was a planet reflecting the earth in the atmosphere. I'm just, you know, some people like science, so some people have come to the Lord because of science. So if it doesn't float your boat, then I'm sorry for that. Okay, verse 10. And when they saw the star, and they call it a star, but it's, I think it's more like a planet, in my opinion, because stars real far away, they don't bounce around. You can't follow them. If you do, you're just going around the earth. You'd have a hard time keeping up with them, though, because you'd have to, at the equator, you'd have to run 24,000 miles in a day. You'd have to be going 1,000 miles an hour, which is, you know, Mach 1.5. I guess you could get in a plane and go, you know, if you could refuel in the air. They don't refuel at Mach, so you'd have to slow down to refuel. But anyway, okay, verse 10. And when the wise men saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding joy. There it is. It's up. It's the earth is spinning, so these planets, they rotate, but they also are like whipping around. Planets whip around the night sky. You see a star right next to the moon that wasn't there the day before. You go, wow, this thing is... But they're a lot closer, so it changes everything. Things that are real far away, they don't move. Things that are right next to your car window, they go by like a flash. Anyway, verse 11. And when they were come into the house, you know, it doesn't sound like they were in the manger, but I shouldn't go there. But it says when they came into the house, and some people like to be really critical about all these little things. I'm not going to do that. I probably shouldn't have said anything. But when they were come into the house, they saw the young child, which they some people want to say, well, you know, maybe he was like 2 years old. In fact, that they killed all the babies 2 years old and younger might have had something to do with that. So if you ever hear this controversy, you can make a big deal out of it. I'm just sharing it with you because you might be interested or whatever. Verse 11, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. You only do that with God, my friends. And when they had opened, if these are truly wise men, they would not be doing this. If they're from an Abrahamic religion, they would only be worshiping God. And they had opened their treasures and presented him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So it doesn't say there were three kings, but it does say they had three gifts. So again, I'm just throwing it out there because people hit me up with this sometimes and, you know, been there, done that, heard that. Okay, verse 12, our last verse in episode 14. And being warned of God in a dream, the wise men were warned of God, just like Joseph is going to be warned practically the next verse, verse 13, I'm not sure. Anyway, but I know it is in the next episode. And being warned of God in a dream, I don't know if it's in Matthew or not, I will as soon as I hit this button. And being warned of God in a dream, the wise men should not return to Herod. They departed into their own country another way. So I would guess Persia, I would guess Mesopotamia, one of those. But it could be any Eastern country. All right, tomorrow we're going to take a look at the child Jesus. And there it is, Matthew 2, 13 through 18. So tomorrow we only got six verses. The child Jesus carried to Egypt. I think he was there a couple years until Herod died. And the children at Bethlehem slain, or as Schofield calls it, the slaughter of the innocent. Approximately BC 4. Again, the numbers get closer as you get to zero from the left side. They get bigger when as from the right side on a timeline. All right, so I will say adios to God. And I will say vaya con Dios, go with God.